doesn't get you excited and pumped up about Jesus, I don't really know what will. What a privilege it is for a sinner like myself to receive redemption in Jesus Christ and to be able to sing not only in this life, but in the life to come, to sing around the throne of God with the angels and with the creatures that we see in heaven, to proclaim how wonderful our Savior is. That's what we have to look forward to, amen? Y'all turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Y'all didn't think I was just going to leave y'all hanging in Leviticus, did you? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. You get one of those right, go the direction that was. So if you get to Numbers, go left. Get to Exodus, go right. Right? Correct? Too many rights. I have to use correct there, darn. We learned last week something. Anybody remember what we learned last week? Hope you learned something. No one? Okay, I'll tell you. Those of you who might have paid attention, I'm sorry that I was so congested. You probably lost me in that. Somebody said I sound like Bill Clinton when I was congested. I don't really know how to take that. So I basically pulled their membership from church here. That's how I took it. No, not really. I don't have the power to do that. That was only a joke. Those of you who are worried, oh no, I said something bad too. Is he going to... Leviticus chapter 23. Thank you for the courtesy last, by the way, when I try to be funny. Some of you are nice about that. But the thing is, when we look at Leviticus chapter 23, we talked last week that Jesus was something very important. And we talked about Pentecost because last week was the Protestant celebration, the Protestant day of Pentecost, the birth of the church, the power of the Holy Spirit coming into the lives of individuals who were born again by Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. So what we're going to do today, I told you about those feasts. We talked about and I know what you guys are thinking. This is supposed to be some challenge to graduates. This is the greatest challenge that you'll ever hear in your life, I promise you, at the end. Pay attention. But as we look at this, I want you to see that there's a whole lot to this. So put your thinking caps on. Let's get ready to move, okay? We're going to cover some territory today. We talked about those feasts, and we talked about the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. We talked about the Passover. We talked about the Feast of First Fruits, and then we talked about the Feast of Weeks, which was the day of Pentecost. And in talking about all those things, I told you and even showed you in Scripture that Jesus fulfilled those things for us. How many of you understand? We don't have to live by the law. You as Gentiles here, you never had the law, so quit playing like you did. Okay? Amen. Let me tell you, there's a movement going on in Christianity where they're trying to get Gentiles to revert back to Judaism. That's ridiculous. Okay, that's ridiculous. It never was for you. Ephesians says you were without hope and without God. That you were bent to sexual immorality, to murder, to adultery, to drunkenness, to orgies even. That's what it says about the Gentile. That was your nature. Praise the Lord, Jesus Christ came and changed us. We know for the Jew, they received God's law. Therefore, their nature was to try to follow God's law. You're never going to get there following a set of rules. Please understand that, nor will the Jew. So as we look at this today, Jesus was the fulfillment of the first feast that we see in Leviticus 23. And I told you that last week, and I said this with a little sarcasm. I'm sure you detected it, because that is my spiritual gift, sarcasm. I said, I think I have a sneaky hunch who's going to fulfill the rest of these feasts that haven't been fulfilled yet. So what we're going to do is God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, really moved on me this week. He said, don't leave those people hanging right there and just say he might fulfill these things. Show them how this is going to happen. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at that. Is that cool? Y'all have your Bibles. You have your thinking cap. We're going to move forward. Let's look at this. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 23. Everybody there? It says this. The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of rest, a sacred assembly, commemorated with trumpet blast. I want you to do something here. When it says trumpet blast, you guys help me. My former English teacher here, she's not here today, but I would want to talk to her right here. Trumpet blast with an S on the end of it. C-plus student here at best on my best day, okay? Here's the thing. But I can figure this out. He didn't say trumpet blast, did he? He said trumpet blast. That's in the plural, right? For you English majors that are here today, that's talking about more than one sound of a trumpet. Because here's the thing. What we're going to look at today, there's lots of schools of thought on this. Some people say that the Feast of Trumpet will be fulfilled at the rapture, where there will be a trumpet. Others say that the Feast of Trumpets will be fulfilled during a time of tribulation where we see that the angels blow seven different trumpets in the book of Revelation. Let me say this to you. We're going to look in the book of Revelation today. Don't freak out. Okay, everybody freaks out. Oh, that's all right. Stop freaking out about that. It's good stuff. Some people say that that's what it is. And then some people say that it is the trumpet at the second coming of Christ. Now, how many of you understand, if you are a futurist, premillennialist, like myself, and pre-rapture, pre-trib rapture, let me say that, if you're like me, and you are a pre-trib rapture kind of guy, it's okay if you're not, okay? There's lots of wrong people in the world. It's okay if you're not, and it's okay to agree to disagree on that. I won't argue with that, with you on that. What I would do is get in a nice, healthy debate and show you that, hey, let's look at how many things point toward God's consistency in a pre-trib rapture. But we're not going to have that fight today. But what we are going to, because people have been having that fight for thousands of years, and nobody ever gets anywhere except for mad. And I'm not going to get mad about stuff that you really don't know. Or that I really don't know. So the thing is, what we want to look at, we want to look at this. I see the word trumpets, and that's why it's so important that I tell you that's plural. Because what I think the Feast of Trumpets, plural, could possibly be referring to all of these end-time trumpets that we're going to see. Wouldn't that make sense since it's plural? Wouldn't that make sense since it's going to make more sense in a second because I'm going to show you why I think that. But wouldn't it make sense that since Jesus fulfilled the first four here, that the last three, Jesus is probably going to fulfill those too? Y'all wake up this morning. I just came to see my niece get a nice Bible from the preacher on graduation. You thought that's why you came. You came today hopefully so that God can interrupt your life and show you something maybe you've never seen before and see the urgency behind the Feast of Trumpets. So what I'm going to do, y'all ready? We're going to talk about how the Feast of Trumpets is the fulfillment of the rapture. It is the fulfillment of the beginning of tribulation. It is also the fulfillment of the second coming of Christ, where He rescues those who are under that tribulation from that tribulation. I'm going to show you this, and here's what you can do. You can say, well, I just don't agree. That's fine. I'm not asking you to agree with me today. I'm asking you to check the facts with me as we look at the Word of God. And then at the end of the day, I promise you, if you look at it, you'll say, hey, that's all good opinion and good theory. But how many of you are looking forward to the day of rapture? I know you all are. Here's what we learned. The number one thing that we need to see today is the first trumpet in these plural trumpets is the trumpet of rapture. The trumpet of rapture. Turn 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, and here's where a bunch of theologians get in fights. Okay? 1 Thessalonians. Y'all there? These iPads and things, I don't hear people turning pages, so I don't know where you are. All right? I'm going to eventually get there if I'll keep passing. I'll quit passing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Sometimes you hear this at funerals. Most funerals, you do hear this. It's a great thing to say at the funeral since you're encouraging people not to grieve as the world grieves, but giving them hope. This is great hope for those of us who know Christ. How many of you are thankful that you know Christ? One day you will be a part of a rapture. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you're premillennial, amillennial, or postmillennial. Those of you here who are not eschatology majors, you just went, who cares? And exactly. That'd be your sense. I know this, that at one day, 1 Thessalonians, one day in my life, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, is going to apply to me. Pay attention to what it says. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant. That's good. We could just preach a whole sermon from that, right? That's unlearned. That's uneducated. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. He's referring to people whose mortal bodies have died. Okay? Do we as Christians ever die? No, absolutely not. Quit shaking your head. Yes, this body that we shouldn't even like anyways deteriorates. It goes to the grave. But we who we really are will live forever. Why? We've received that promise from Jesus Christ. Isn't that John 3:16 and the basis of everything that Jesus preached when He preached the gospel? Sure. Jesus Himself said, he who believes in me shall never die. So don't say, yeah, we're going to die. Your body's going to go in the ground. And I hope at my funeral that's what they say. This wasn't a very good body anyways, and it's gone. But Kirk is forever with Christ. So he says this. He said, don't be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. He's telling you because you have hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. Why is he telling us this? How many of you know you have been predestined to conform to the image of Christ? That means you'll go to the grave and you'll rise again. Now, not only did Jesus rise again, Jesus did something else, didn't he? Remember, we don't talk about it a whole lot. We talked about it not too long ago. Jesus ascended into the clouds, right? How many of you say, well, if Jesus ascended into the clouds and I'm to conform to the image of His Son, I've conformed to His death, His burial, His resurrection, why would I not conform to His ascension? Don't leave that out, because you will. You will conform to His ascension. It will be a picture of you going home. So He says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word. You got to stop and think for a second. Paul's had some conversation with Jesus. We don't really know when this took place, but he's going to teach us some things. In fact, when we look at this same event over in Corinthians, he's going to tell us this is a mystery that's been unveiled. He goes and he says, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the, y'all say it with me? With the trumpet call of God. Now understand this. The trumpet call of God, contrary is the word I'm looking for, to what you've probably been taught in your whole life if you've been in church. He's not talking about an actual trumpet necessarily. I'm going to show you why in just a second. How many of you know when God speaks, He speaks with the voice of a trumpet? We're going to see John, when John goes up into heaven, when he was raptured up into heaven, in the midst of the vision of Revelation, he was raptured up there, and we're going to see that he was raptured up there by God's trumpet of a voice. Understand that. How many of you know God's voice spoke all this into existence? So understand, as we read this, pay close attention to what's happening. He said, for the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Where are we meeting the Lord? Everybody say it with me. In the air. Where did Jesus ascend to? The clouds, in the air. Okay, understand that. This is not the second coming of Christ. Okay, do not confuse the two. Because when you confuse the two, you're going to confuse yourself all over Scripture. This is not the second coming of Christ. He did not come to the earth. We meet Him in the, say it with me, air, which is the clouds. Good job. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. The feast of the trumpet. The number one fulfillment will be the rapture of the church. It is a trumpet of rapture. Call for the church. A call for the church to pay attention. A call for the church to understand that one day we are going to hear the voice of God call us from this world that we do not belong in. And He's going to call us to meet Christ where? In the air. Just as we were resurrected like Jesus, we will ascend in the same manner. Please understand that. Everybody got that? Because you wouldn't look like Jesus without the ascension. We talk about the death, the burial, the resurrection. Make sure that you know there's an ascension because He did go to the Father. That's where He is right now. How many of you understand? Jesus is not here on this earth. His Spirit lives in us. But Jesus, the one who ascended into heaven, according to Scripture, is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Understand it. I know I just blew some of you away. Wait a second. Stay with me. This is a call for the church, the trumpet of rapture. Here's the second thing. It's a call for the ending of an error. It's a call for the ending of an error. First, before we do that, I want you to go back over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Go backwards. Take a left. How many of you still believe in a rapture? People say, well, that just sounds like make-believe. No, it's not like supernatural to me. It sounded like supernatural when Jesus ascended into heaven and his disciples just stood there astonished. So understand, we have a supernatural God, and in that supernatural way, we are going to emulate the ascension of Christ by our own ascension to meet Him in the air. 1 Corinthians 15:51, another great verse on the rapture. And I love how Paul explains it here. 51, he tells us this. Listen, I tell you a mystery. Everybody underline that in your Bible. Understand this. Everybody listening? People say, well, we don't find Jesus teaching on anything about the rapture. Guess what? You don't. In the documentations that you have, in the Gospels, you see Jesus talk about the second coming. People will argue, but we see where he returns to the earth. Yeah, that's the second coming. Understand, this is a revelation that the Apostle Paul has received. He says, here is a mystery. Understand that in 1 Corinthians, this was around 50 A.D. that Paul is going to say this. How many of you understand it wasn't until approximately 90 A.D. that the book of Revelation was written? So understand this. Jesus, while he was here, he didn't reveal some things. Did you know that? How many of you understand? He didn't tell them everything they needed to know. He didn't tell you everything you needed to know. That's why he put the Holy Spirit in you to do what? Teach you. To lead you. How many of you understand the Word of God, though it is without error and it is without blemish and it is truth, it's not complete truth. It's complete as to it's what we've been given. But do you know the Word of God itself says this? It says we know in part and we see in part. You know, he's given us just some images into the things that are to come. You know why? Because if we saw it all, it would blow us away. One day we will, because the same verse, it says this. Now we see in part and we know in part, but one day we will know as we are fully known. Everybody says, well, I'm going to get to heaven, and the first question I'm going to ask is this. You won't have to ask any questions. How cool is that? You won't have to ask any questions because he's going to change you in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, just as we're about to read, and you will be different forever. You will be glorified, and you will know as you are known. 1 Corinthians 15:51. As we continue to read there, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Aren't you thankful for that? He says, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Understand what that means. When he says the last trumpet, it's the last trumpet of rapture. What's going to happen? There's going to be the voice of God. There's going to be an angel. And the last on that list is the voice and the trumpet of God calling his people home. It's a series, we see that, of calls. And when it happens, when God says, come up here, I promise you, we who know him are coming up. Hallelujah. Why? Because John said it like this. My sheep hear my voice, and they obey me. One day we're going to obey Jesus all the way up into the clouds. I can't wait for that day. He said, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. We know that that dead means those who are asleep. Go read your side note. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable. Thank you, Lord. This perishable vessel, this body that I live in, will be exchanged for a glorified, imperishable body. No more susceptible to disease, to sickness, to sin, to all the things of this world. Is anybody excited about that? Y'all looking at me like, man, can you back up? Y'all want me to back up, start over? Everybody still listening? Don't get lost. And the mortal with immortality, and when the perishable has been clothed with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says this is a mystery that hasn't been unveiled yet. Pay attention to that. That's for all the people who say, well, we don't see a rapture in the Gospels. Note to self. Jesus didn't reveal the rapture in the Gospels. It wasn't till later through the Apostle Paul. And there's a very important reason why. There's a very, very, very important reason why. All of you unimportant Gentiles, pay attention to this. Are you listening? How many of you understand the church age, what we saw happen back at Pentecost was the beginning? It was the beginning of something new. It was the beginning of a church era. It was the beginning of something that Scripture calls the age or the era of the Gentiles. Understand what happened according to what Paul wrote in his epistles. He has ushered in this time of the Gentiles to cause the Jew to be jealous of our hope that we have in Christ. He wants them to envy what we have. Understand that. So here as we see this unfold, it was Paul here unveiling a mystery that was supposed to be hidden from the Jew. How many of you understand? Jesus hid a lot of things from the Jews. He's partially blinded them for this whole error. Well, we'll get into all that if we get to Revelation. We won't get there today. One day their scales are going to be removed at the second coming. Understand that. We'll talk a little bit about that today. But this is a call for the ending of an error. Luke tells us, if we look in Revelation 4, I want to show you. People say, well, you don't see the revelation in the rapture in Revelation. I'm going to show you do. Y'all ready? Anybody interested in this stuff? Look, don't get your theology on this from the Left Behind series. Because the Bible's true. Watch this. We know this. If we just go through, I'm not going to give you verse by verse in Revelation today. I know you're bummed out about that, but you'd be here all day and then some and then next day and next week. And we can do that at some point in time when God leads. But here, let's watch this. From Revelation chapter 2 all the way to the end of Revelation chapter 3, he's writing letters to churches. Understand, he's writing letters to the churches in this church age. Watch what happens here. For all you people who say that, well, you don't see a rapture in Revelation. You see John raptured in Revelation. Watch this. After this, I looked. After what? Somebody tell me again what just happened in 2 and 3. He's speaking to the church. He says, and after this, didn't I just tell you there is an error that is the church age? In fact, we're going to see in a second that Luke calls it the age of the Gentile, the times of the Gentile. Understand this. These times of the Gentile will not end until the second coming of Christ. Those of us who were born again before will be rescued, because here's the thing. When Jesus comes at the end of this age, because this end of this age will be marked with great tribulation, I promise you, you can read about it in Scripture. It'll be marked with great tribulation, and Jesus will then come to reveal himself to his chosen people. Don't get upset, Gentile, the Jew. Because they've been blinded all this time. How many of you understand this? When you read the first verse of the book of Revelation, the first sentence is the key to understanding it all. The first sentence, let me read it for you. I'll read it for you so you don't feel lost. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I do know about me. He's already revealed himself to me. Hello? How many of you remember when the Holy Spirit revealed Jesus Christ to you? This is a future revelation. This will be, and what it's talking about here, is the future revelation to His chosen people who on His first coming they neglected to see Him. Understand that. So, we get to chapter 4. He gives us a little insight into the church, and then he says, after this, after what? After I get through talking to the church age here. I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a... Y'all say that with me. Like a trumpet. Watch what he says. Like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. After what? After the church age. Understand, don't get confused. Boy, that's simple. Y'all are like, man, Revelation 101 just opened my eyes to a bunch of things. So understand what he's telling us here. He's telling us of a rapture that is to come. John let us know after the church age, there's going to be a calling up. And in that calling up, God's going to say, come up here. And he's going to see some things in a minute. We're not going into that today, I promise. Those of you who were scared. The trumpet of rapture, a call for the ending of an era. The church age will end. Luke 21 tells us about that. Go over there and look, if you would. Luke 21, verses 20 through 24, where he refers to it as the times of the Gentile. Y'all want to look there or y'all want to go on? Let's look. Don't ask the ladies in the nursery that. We're doing great on time. And I'm on my first point. That's good. There's only 30 today. I'm only playing. Only playing. Luke 21, verse 20. When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that its desolation is near. And I know what a lot of theologians say. A lot of theologians say this. This was fulfilled in 70 AD. Let me tell you, this did happen in 70 AD, but it's not the first time that it happened in Jerusalem. It won't be the last time it happened in Jerusalem. If you've ever been over there, it's been leveled several times. Why? Because the Gentiles hate Israel. And they continually destroy them or seek to destroy them. They have never had peace and they never will to the second coming of Christ. Please understand that. Everybody go like this. What he's saying here in Luke chapter 21, verse 20, when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, he's saying, during all of this tribulation, he's going to talk about tribulation before and after this that the world has never seen since the time of the flood. How many of you understand only one family made it through the flood? He says it's going to be a time of tribulation worse than that. Watch what he says about it. He says, you will know that its desolation is near. And let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out. And let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment and fulfillment of all that has been written. Punishment for who? Watches. How dreadful will it be in those days for the pregnant woman and the nursing mothers? There will be great distress in the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Understand here, speaking of a lot of things. I won't go into everything that they're speaking of for the sake of time. But it is speaking of, we've seen the trumpet of rapture, which calls us home. Amen. The ending of an era. It calls us as Christians home. It ends the era of the church on this earth. It's a call to a new beginning for the believer. Maybe you understand it. We'll be changed, glorified in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. A new beginning for us. No more struggle with sin. No more struggle with death. No more of the things of this world. Anybody longing for that? Anybody looking forward to that? This is a call that we all ought to look forward to. Why do I say that? Because in Thessalonians, Paul said, encourage one another with this. Encourage, but also understand this call also moves the world into something else. Though the church has been removed from this earth, the fulfillment of the Gentiles is not complete yet. Everybody understand? The Gentiles will still be on this earth. How many of you know you're not a Gentile anymore? You're a born-again believer. How many of you know the Jews who've accepted Christ, they're not Jew anymore. They're born-again believers. So here's the thing. All born-again believers will be rescued at the rapture. Now the earth is going to now be tormented by a great tribulation. Okay, everybody understand? There will be a time of great tribulation. Here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to give you all the elements. We had a little mini Bible study here on Thursday night, and we gave more of the elements than we're going to look at today. So some of these guys kind of, they're going, oh man, maybe he'll talk about that. We're not going to talk about all that stuff. Y'all were confused enough then? No, they really weren't. They got it. It was good. But we see we move from the trumpet of rapture to the trumpets of God's wrath. Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. We see Luke tell us that there's going to be a great time of tribulation. This is the great time of tribulation. This is God's wrath being poured out on the earth against sin. Understand that. Against sin and sinners. Revelation chapter 8, he's going to talk about trumpets. I'm not going to read it all for you. You can follow it. When those trumpets begin to sound, these angels are going to sound trumpets. Seven angels had seven trumpets. They prepared to sound them. We're not going to go in and break down those trumpets today. We're going to talk about their purpose. Those trumpets, you can go back and read all of them. Those trumpets are calls proclaiming God's divine wrath. Many of you have sat back and said, man, why is God not doing something about all this sin on the earth? How many of you have ever wondered that? Why do these people just get to trample all over God and there's no recourse and there's nothing that happens to them and here we are, we're trying to live righteous lives and things happen to us. Let me tell you this. They will receive the wrath that is due them. Understand that. And what happens is, if you go back and you look at Revelation, we'll see that some things have taken place up until this point, and I'll give you the fast forward. And the Lamb has opened some seals. Contrary to what a bunch of people think, I don't agree necessarily with that as the beginning of the tribulation. I believe those seals are the triggers that are going to start the tribulation, and I believe the trumpets by the angels are going to sound the okay to go forth. So I see the seals as a trigger putting things into motion. I see the trumpets seeing those things come to pass. And so each of those trumpets brings on a new element of God's divine wrath against sinful man. It's calls unleashing and proclaiming divine wrath, but it's calls also unleashing God's withheld judgment. How many of you understand this? God is withholding His judgment right now from this earth. People say all the time, why didn't He just do something? Why didn't He just wipe out all the evil? Let me tell you this. He is going to. Once and for all. It's going to begin with this time of tribulation. You're going to see things like a third of the earth's population being wiped out in a moment. So pay attention to those things as you read. I told you, I'm not going to go through all that today, but go back and check those things out. What's going to happen when each of those trumpets sound? They're trumpets of God's wrath. So the second trumpet that I believe, and we're going to see seven trumpets in order. The first trumpet is a trumpet of rapture when God calls us home. Anybody still excited about that? And when He calls us home, we're going to go into a series of other things. Those seals are going to be opened by the Lamb, the only one worthy of opening those seals. It's going to trigger some events. When those events are triggered on this earth, then the Lord is going to unleash His angels to blow trumpets of wrath. Understand this. It's coming. And when it comes, there are calls alerting everyone to the withheld judgment that is to come. Calls for inevitable destruction. Calls for inevitable destruction. Watch this, which can only be avoided by hearing and surrendering to God's call of repentance and acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Savior. Watch this, right now. Right now. You see, a lot of people, what they're going to do, they're going to put it off and hope that maybe right before the rapture they're going to squeak in. Or maybe because you've been falsely taught that there's going to be all these people converted during the tribulation. Can I help you out? I am firmly convinced that there will be many Gentile, if any, Gentile conversion during the time of tribulation. I hope that there is. I really do. I hope that there is. But the Gentile who is faithless has no reason to deny Christ and lose his head, because that's what's going to happen. But the Jew who realizes through the influence there's going to be 144,000 Jews, not Jehovah's Witness. There's going to be 144,000 Jews unleashed on this world, protected by the hand of God to proclaim God's truth. Listen to me, to the Jew. If you're not a Jew here today, let me tell you this. If you leave this world without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to tell you this. You have a very, very low percentage, if any percentage at all. And the reason I say if any percentage is all, because I'm not God. I don't get to ultimately decide. But I know this. We're in the church age. This is the age that He is drawing men to Himself through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I promise you that when these trumpets of wrath begin to sound, that part is done. Why? We're free from the wrath of God as God's children. Understand that. So here's the thing. That's why I say that I'm definitely a pre-trib rapture kind of guy. Because I've been freed from the wrath of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through His sacrifice that He made for me. So understand that. He bore my wrath. Because guess what? I had it coming. In fact, John said the wrath of God lived on me. How many of you are thankful that Jesus Christ rescued you from the wrath of God that lived on you? It abided on you or in you. So as we look at this, I want you to see there are some trumpets that are going to happen after the rapture, the trumpets of the revelation of God's wrath, a call for inevitable destruction. And let me say this. I don't say this to scare you. I say this because this is what the Bible teaches. You better make sure you listen to Jesus on this earth while you have time, because when that trumpet of rapture comes, you might have missed your opportunity. You might have missed your opportunity because the world's going to go into complete chaos. You say, well, how do you say the Jews will believe? Because there's 144,000 of a remnant of believing Jews that God is going to raise up to explain it in a manner and to unveil it in a manner that they can see it for the very first time. And they are 144,000 Jews. 12,000 from the 12 tribes. Understand that. You can gather that in Scripture, which I happen to believe is so God can swing his sickle into this world one more time and rescue His chosen people from a messed up, wicked, and perverse generation that controls this earth. So we see the trumpets of God's wrath. All those who aren't saved prior to Revelation chapter 4. Listen to me. All of you who aren't saved prior to Revelation chapter 4, prior to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, all of you who are not born-again believers at that point, listen to me. You are going to face the worst time that this world has ever seen. Now, let me make it worse for you so that you completely understand it. You are going to face that time without any hope at all. Because the only ones of us here in this room today who have any hope at all are those who know Jesus Christ, and His everlasting hope lives inside of us. So understand, you don't think that the world's going this way right now, you better watch the news one more time. You better watch the news one more time. People say, well, Kirk, if you know so much about the end times and prophecy, well, what's the one world currency that's going to happen? How about oil? Texas tea. Now, maybe I understand, he who controls the oil controls it all. And if you hadn't checked yourself lately, those people living in the dunes across the earth control all of that. They're going to play an important role in the things that are to come. We're not going to get there today. The trumpets of God's wrath. We've seen the trumpet of rapture, the trumpets of God's wrath, and then lastly, we're going to see the trumpet of Jesus' second coming. This is a great trumpet because here's what this trumpet's going to do. This trumpet, number one, is going to usher in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. This trumpet, number two, is going to defeat sin and wicked mankind forever upon this earth. The trumpet of Jesus' second coming. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and all you people who thought this was the rapture, stop thinking that. Jesus never unveiled the rapture. It wasn't until the Apostle Paul. In what year? 50 to 55 A.D. is when they believe that took place. How many of you are getting this? Anybody getting this? How many of you turned me off 30 minutes ago? I'm going to tell you that this is the second coming of Christ for lots of reasons. The first one I've already shared with you because I don't believe that the rapture was unveiled until Paul said, this mystery I'm going to reveal to you is the mystery that Christ gave to me. Didn't he say that? Can we agree on that? The Lord told him. Didn't he say that? Hello? Okay. I'm just making sure. Fact checking. Snopes.com. The trumpet of Jesus' second coming. We've seen the trumpet of rapture. We've seen the trumpet of what? What was the second one? Trumpets of God's wrath, the tribulation that's going to be poured out on this earth. Why do we lump these together? Because these are the things that have to happen until, after the end of the church age, these things happen until Christ's return. This is an era. This is an era, a time span, a time frame, however you want to define it. And this era will be marked, the ending of this era will be marked with the return of Christ. Why? Because what happens when Christ returns? There's a millennial reign. There's 1,000 years, okay, that Christ sets up His kingdom on this earth. It begins another era. Doesn't that make sense? Let me tell you something, folks. Go back and look at these feasts real quick. Can we stop and do a rewind? How many of you know there was an era of the Passover where Jesus came to this earth and He offered Himself as a blood sacrifice? And there was an era, there was a time frame where Jesus was the body that went into the grave, the unleavened bread, and rose again. How many of you say that was a time frame? We know this. There was an era of first fruits when Jesus did resurrect from the grave. And there was an era of Pentecost where all of a sudden God's church is empowered to be who Jesus died for them to be. And now how many of you would say, there's been an era of a great church on this earth. Watch this, about 2,000 years worth. And that era is going to end at the rapture, and then that trumpet of rapture will call us home. Then the trumpets of God's wrath will bring God's judgment upon this earth for the wicked. What they have coming, we've all said it, man, they got something coming. It's coming. And then we see the trumpet of Jesus. The end of that era, the beginning of the next. A call to announce the unveiling of Jesus. The Jewish people will see Him for who He really is finally. How many of you understand? The second coming is not for you. I hope and pray to God that you're not here when it happens, except for you returned with Christ. Because did you know we get to do that? Anybody listening? Any warriors out there? Anybody in here who's a warrior? Let's be honest. Because I promise you this, we're going to see heaven opened up in Revelation, and there's one on a white horse. And with that one on the white horse comes the armies of heaven. Let me tell you what, they distinguish in the original language. That's not angels. That's all of those blood-bought saints of God who were already with Him because He already raptured them up. We're coming back to the earth with Jesus Christ to rule and reign with Him in His kingdom for 1,000 years. Hallelujah, praise, honor, and glory to the Lamb. But for those of you who were here when that happened, we got some bad news for you. says it's going to be a day of great sorrow. Well, imagine it's going to be a great day of great sorrow when the King of Kings and Lord of Lords steps foot on the Mount of Olives. He walks down the Mount of Olives and he walks into the eastern gate of Jerusalem, which will be busted wide open because of an earthquake that happened when he set his foot on the Mount of Olives. And he's going to walk up into his throne room, and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there will be those in sorrow and in great agony because they missed their opportunity to bow down to Him in the lifetime that they were given. There'll be great sorrow for the Jew who neglected to see Him when He came the first time. There'll be great sorrow for all unbelievers who've rejected Him and chosen to hold on to their sin and to hold on to their selfishness and to hold on to their wee little lives on this earth that they live. There will be great sorrow for all of them. Because up until that point, they're just going to be thinking, boy, this is just some bad times that have hit the earth. And Jesus comes back and He will be revealed in all His glory. And everyone will know who He is. Matthew 24. As we look at the trumpet of His second coming, Matthew 24, verse 29. I encourage you to read all the stuff around this. It's all good. Don't confuse this for the rapture. Immediately after the distress of those days, right before this, He tells us about great distress that the world has never seen. So this is definitely talking about the second coming. How many of you know, at the end of the tribulation, Jesus is returning to this world to rule and to reign. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and He will send His angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather His elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. You say, well, what are you talking about, gather His elect? How many of you know that the 144,000 that were left here during the tribulation were elected? Hello? He selected them. 12,000 from 12 tribes, they're His elect. Now here's the thing, if they have any converts, they've been elected because of their belief. So what He's going to do is at His second coming, He's going to have His angels gather His elect. Did you know that and when we read the Apostle Paul's writings and he talks about those who are elect, those are who are predestined, did you know he's referring to the Jewish believers of the early church who were elected as a remnant to usher in the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's the same word we see here. He says they're coming to gather all of those who have come to faith in Christ during the tribulation, who are still here. Keep on reading. Because He said He's going to seal those 144,000 and nothing's going to touch them. Did you know that? Isn't that good news? God's powerful, isn't He? Where are we at? Verse what? Find out if you're really listening. 32. Is that right? Now learn this from the fig tree. This is the important thing. This is why I don't believe this is talking about the rapture, and this is why I don't believe that this is talking about something that happened in 70 AD like some of our great theologians and people who would like to argue with us think. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So here's what he's not saying. He's not telling those believers there that you're not going to pass away before you see this happen, as many people have falsely interpreted. There was a key element here. He said, watch what kind of leaf, what kind of tree. He said, watch the fig tree. And he said, when the fig tree blossoms, that generation will not pass away from the face of the earth. Now, what does that mean? Let me give it to you in layman's terms. The nation of Israel has always been represented by the fig tree. How many of you remember something happened in the 1940s? Anybody alive when that happened? Anyone? No one wants to admit it? Let me tell you this event, Israel becoming its own nation again, having its own borders, being somebody in that part of the world where nobody wants them to be and has hated them since their existence, despised them, and desires that they die. When that nation became a nation again, let me tell you something, the fig tree blossomed. And this generation here has seen it. How many of you know every time there's unrest in the Middle East, it's because somebody wants to do something bad to Israel? Amen? You better understand this. They are loved by God. They are still the apple of His eye. Understand this. This is just our time to be used by God to cause them to envy what we have so that one day they too will have the same when they too are ushered into God's kingdom only by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. So as we look at this, understand this. That gives us a very, very, very alarming warning here, doesn't it? That if I'm right, and let me tell you this, I'm not going to tell you that I'm absolutely 100% right, but I do know this. He wasn't talking about anything that's happened yet because we're all still here. And the only thing that I can see historically that he could be talking about symbolically of Israel is that fig tree. And the fact is this. 1940, what was it, 1948. See, I get confused. I want to say 47, but that's the year my dad was born. Don't tell him I said that. He'll be mad because y'all realize how old he is. In 1948, the nation of Israel, that fig tree blossomed. And he says this. He says, the generation who sees that season. Remember, I told you there's eras, there's season. He said, the generation that sees that season is not going to pass from this earth before this happens. So you say, Kirk, are you predicting the future? Absolutely not. I'm just telling you this. It could happen anytime. The rapture could happen this very moment. I promise you the rapture could happen before we walk out this building today. It ought to excite us. It ought not to cause us to be fearful. I promise you this. If you're living your life for Jesus and you're dedicated to Him, you long for that new home. You long to meet Him in the air. You long to receive that incorruptible vessel that He's going to dress you with because you know what it's like to have all this flesh and all this corruption on you and you see the evil of it and all you want to do is rid yourself of it. I'm thankful that today, one day, that trumpet's going to sound. That trumpet's going to sound, which will be the voice of God saying, come up here, Kirk Hall. Come up here, Terry Brumley. Come up here, church. And when we hear that voice, we are going to do just as Jesus did, and we are going to leave this earth to meet Him in the air where we will, according to what we just read in Corinthians, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, be forever changed. We'll be in His presence, as He said, forever. Forever. That's why people say, well, what makes you think you're coming back when He comes back on His white horse? Because He said, I'm going to be with Him forever. Wherever He goes, I go. Praise and glory to the Lamb. But there's bad news, isn't there? Feast of Trumpets not only fulfills the trumpet of rapture, fulfills the trumpets of God's wrath, the trumpets of judgment. Let me say this to you as honestly and as clearly and as lovingly as I can right now. If you don't have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, all you have to look forward to is the worst imaginable things that you could ever see happen on this earth. And then after all that is done, the only thing that you have to look forward to is judgment for your sin and death and hell forever. I don't say that to scare you. I say that because that's the whole counsel of the Word of God. That's what the Word of God teaches. It's not just all flowers and grace and mercy and love. But a holy God will judge the sin of this world. And let me tell you this, if you are left here as a sinner, you will be judged and your sin will cause you to receive condemnation for all eternity in hell. I say that with urgency. I get loud in my voice because I'm passionate, because you know what? I don't want any of you, just as Jesus desired, that none of you perish, but that all of you come to repentance. There's going to be that trumpet of judgment. My prayer for you is this. Day before it's too late, that you repent of your sin. And you turn to the only one who's ever died for your sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you surrender your life to Him this very day as the Holy Spirit prompts you in your heart. Some of you today are going to receive a calling in your heart like you never have before. Some of you are going to hear a message like you've never heard before. And I'm not talking about the message I've preached. I'm talking about the message that the Spirit says to your heart that says, listen to what this man just preached. Because it's truth. My prayer is this. My prayer is this. My prayer is that you kneel and that you bow to the only King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you kneel and you bow to Him this very day before it's too late. Because I promise you, when He returns, that last trumpet, the trumpet announcing His second coming, I promise you this. Everyone will be unable to stand when His presence and His glory hits this earth again. Because let me tell you something, folks. The first time, He came as a gentle lamb. And the second time, He's coming as a roaring lion. And you will not be able to stand up against His glory. Understand, when He came as a lamb, He veiled His glory because it was too much for us to handle. He veiled His glory in His humanity. When He comes back, there will be nothing veiled. You will see the glory of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords like you've never seen it before. And every knee, I believe every animal, I believe every ant, I believe every cockroach in all of creation, because of what the Word of God says, will kneel at the sound of the trumpet that's ushering in the return of Jesus Christ when He hits this earth. Every, give Him praise! Here's the thing. You can kneel in regret, or you can ride in with Him in victory. You can kneel in regret. There's going to be sorrow that day. Or you can ride back into this earth, led by He who sits on the white horse, whose name is faithful and true. You stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to ask that you would pray, if you're a believer here today, that you would pray for those who might not be. Every head bowed and every eye closed. You're here today. And you say, Kirk, never have I seen Jesus more clearly in all my life than today. In fact, He's speaking directly to my heart right now. He's calling me to repent and to leave my life of sin. Turn to Him and to Him alone as my Savior and Lord. Listen, folks, we're not talking about church games. We're talking about surrendering our life, kneeling down before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in total repentance of our wickedness and our sin and trusting in Him and Him alone to save us. You say, Kirk, that's me. I feel God telling me in my heart right now that I need to surrender my life. Every ounce of, thank you, ma'am, before I ever got finished, thank you. Every ounce of who I am to Jesus Christ, I need Him to forgive me of my sin. Thank you, ma'am. That's you, would you slip up your hand right now? You say, that's me, I need Jesus to save me. Hold it up high, because He's working in our midst. I need Jesus to save me. I don't want to be that one with regrets, kneeling there on the earth as He returns, but I want to be the one who returns with Him because of His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness. I want to be the one who hears the trumpet call of the church, the rapture. I want to be the one who's taken up then. I believe God is giving me that invitation to take part in that right now, because I promise you, unless He invites you, you don't come. But you say, I feel that in my heart right now. I feel Jesus calling me to receive His grace and mercy. Would you slip up your hand right now so I can pray with you and pray for you? You say, that's me, Kirk. That's me. I need Jesus to save me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Ma'am, that raised your hand back there. I want you to look at me eye to eye. You believe right now that God's calling you to leave your life of sin and to turn to Jesus as your only. I believe you believe that. The Bible says this, that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead and we shall be saved. You want to confess with your mouth today what you believe in your heart, that Jesus died for you, that He rose on the third day to give you new life, that He will one day usher you into heaven to be with God the Father forever. Do you believe that today? By praying this, this prayer saves no one. This prayer is just saying, Lord, I acknowledge what You're doing, and with my mouth I want to proclaim You as my Savior and my Lord. You wish to pray that today, proclaim that. I want you to pray out loud with me. Church, join with us. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that I need You. I need You to forgive me all my sin. I need You to give me brand new life. I know that You died so that I could receive both. Lord Jesus, I surrender to You as my Lord and Savior. And I thank You just as you rose, I too have been risen today to new life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Fill me with your Spirit. Teach me to live this new life. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Ma'am, just you, if you prayed that prayer, I want you right now, before any music begins to start, you just make your way outside. Somebody's going to meet you right down the aisle. We're going to talk to you about what it means to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you want somebody to come with you, you can bring them with you. But I ask that you would be obedient in making your decision to follow in public today. Because it's our public profession that lets others know that we are turning from our life, turning to only Christ. She comes down the middle aisle. One of you counselors on this right-hand side, if you would make your way to her. Thank you. I'm not going to beg anyone to get saved this morning. What I am going to say is this. Jesus loved you so much. He came to this earth and he died for you. He desires, if he's speaking to your heart today, he desires to make you one of his chosen people, as one of his children, to forgive you, to wash you of all your sin. You say, but Kirk, you don't know how much wrong I've done. No, but I know how much wrong I've done, and I know this. If he can forgive me, he can forgive anybody. Well, I just don't know if I can believe. Listen, I promise you this. He gives you the faith to believe, and if he's calling you right now, he's giving you the faith to trust in that. You're here today and you say, I wish I would have answered the call a moment ago because I felt it. But I let all the other things distract me. Kirk, can I please give my life to Jesus today? I don't want to leave here wondering that if today, if the trumpet were to sound, and listen, I don't say this to scare you, but I promise you this, today the trumpet could sound. God could call his children home, and I don't want any of you who hear his voice today in your heart to miss that. To have to spend an eternity separated from God, knowing full well that you heard his voice on this day. You chose to hold on to your life that is meaningless, purposeless, and sinful. You say, Kirk, I need Jesus to save me. I'm tired of playing around with it. I've been playing around with it for months or weeks or even years. I need him to save me today. Anyone like that, I won't tarry. I'm not going to drag this out. But I believe I'm speaking to somebody's heart today. You know you're that one. You say, that's me, Kirk. I need to surrender my life to Jesus. Slip up your hand right now so I can pray with you and pray for you. You say, that's me. Anyone like that? Church, let me say this to you since you all proclaim Christ. The world is clueless to the return of Christ because we're living like he's not coming back. I would encourage you to allow the Holy Spirit to examine you today. You ask yourself this question in light of him. Am I living like the rapture trumpet could sound tomorrow? Watch this, not only am I living like that, am I loving like that? Am I loving people enough to tell them the truth that any day now Jesus could return or call his church to leave this earth? Am I loving like that? I promise you, if we think about these things and we believe these things, and I just showed you in Scripture they're true, it's going to change the way you love everybody you come in contact with. Pray that the altars fill with the tears of the saints in repentance in just a moment for not living like we believe what we talked about today. Allow the Holy Spirit to have his way and to move in your life. If you need prayer, his prayer partners are here to pray with you. You need Jesus to save you. Listen, don't hesitate. You can come forward and you can tell someone, I need Jesus to save me this morning. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life.
Again.